is 24 and a half minutes past seven. We've been talking about working from home a bit lately. And, one psychologist is suggesting that working from home might not be all it's cracked up to be. We talk about flexibility and people say they're more productive when they work from home, etc. And it's one of the top demands now that people are making when they go for employment. But Carly Arsenal is a psychologist and principal consultant at GLWS Wellbeing, and she joins us on the line. Carly, good morning.
Good morning, Stephen. How are you?
Very well. Now, most of us might think that working from home on the couch in our pyjamas is bliss, but apparently not.
Well, no, unfortunately, a growing body of evidence continues to present, murky waters, mixed views around whether flexible working approaches are actually good or bad for us. And when I say this, I say that in relation to our mental health and well-being.
From what perspective? Is it the lack of socialisation that's the problem?
Yeah, look, ultimately, I think we're hearing over and over again that employees obviously want and are demanding these days more and more flexibility and desire to spend more regular time at home. We know that COVID has obviously shifted our habits and the way that we have operated, moving from what was nearly only 8% of Australians working or having a flexible working arrangement prior to COVID. That shifted to 40, 50% of particularly knowledge workers regularly working from home. There's been a lot of research prior to COVID that has really articulated some of the, I guess, the benefits, but also the risks of remote working or working from home. They are, as you said, largely, when we think about the risks, increased isolation and loneliness. They are typically we see employees also spending more time and hours actually working. So that ease of continuing to stay online, to take that extra call, to do that extra email, or the ability to kind of be pulled back to the desk to work more, is seeing that volume of hours worked absolutely increase.
So rather than sort of getting away from your desk at 5 o'clock and going home, because you're already home, you're kind of working those extra hours.
Absolutely. And, you know, we don't want to go into the office because our number one lead factor is we don't want to spend time commuting. But yet a lot of the time, a lot of the people are actually using that commuting time as a working time, and are continuing to operate in that way, which erodes our boundaries. And allows work to obviously spill over into our home life, which causes tension and conflict for us.
Carly, I'm always concerned about how these figures are determined, because a lot of people who are proponents of the working from home concept will say that our productivity is increased when people work at home, and you say, well, how do you determine that? And they say, oh, we ask them. Well, if you go to somebody and say, hey, are you more productive when you work from home? Well, of course they're going to say yes. But so how do we determine the actual negative impacts?
Yes, we have been actually, as a global leadership wellbeing framework and assessment measure, we've been measuring leader wellbeing for over 10 years now, measuring thousands of Australian employees. It really uniquely assess wellbeing in the context of work, but also at home. And over this 10-year period, it is objective. Yes, it is getting a sense of, you know, how employees actually feel, and the various components that drive, I guess, well-being. But more objectively, we are seeing a number of leaders say the symptoms of burnout are higher, that their dissatisfaction with the volume of hours they are working has dramatically increased. So it does require a more objective, I guess, view or an evaluation of various components that are affecting individuals. We do see that employees want and say that their intention to stay with an organisation is really high when we have greater flexibility. But when it comes to more well-being and mental health focus, a lot of the surveys today haven't necessarily used the objective well-being measures that we would be encouraging to evaluate the outcomes or the impacts on individuals.
Thanks, Carly. Appreciate your time.
No worries.
Carly Arkenstall from GLWS Wellbeing.